Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 24th and final chapter in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read verses 44 through 49. This is my text. Keep your hand here because I will be coming back to this. This is my text. As I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Luke 24, verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Let's pray. Lord, final words are often important words, especially if we know that time is short and we want to stick to what's important and not trivial. If we read on in the chapter, we'll find that the next event that's mentioned by Luke is the ascension. Christ ascends to his Father. So as far as recorded speech in Luke's gospel, this is the end. This is it. This is what Christ wanted to leave behind. This is what he wanted them to know. This is what they were to be witnesses of. This is what they were to proclaim. So, Lord, I pray as we look at the final words to the disciples and we realize we're not apostles, but we are disciples of Christ. We are followers of Christ. As we look at his assignment, as we look at what he gave his followers before his ascension, we want to see that we are to carry on that message. So, God, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to your word. We thank you for it. Amen. Christianity has existed for two millennia because Jesus survived death. Now, he clearly died. Look at Luke 23:46. Luke 23:46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. He clearly died, but he didn't stay dead. Look at chapter 24, verse 1. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" So this resurrected, living, breathing Jesus begins to appear to his followers. In fact, in chapter 24, there's at least four different times that is alluded to. He uses these appearances, these opportunities, as opportunities to sum up what has been happening. They were confused. What is going on? What does it all mean? Look at chapter 24, verse 12. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home marveling at what had happened. Verse 22. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they told what had happened. Verse 32. They said one to another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scripture to us?" Verse 41. While they still could not believe it, because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" So they're in this process of shock. They're trying to decipher, what does this mean? Dead people don't live again. He was dead. He was buried. By all intents and purposes, that should be the end of the story. But it wasn't. And we're here this morning because it wasn't the end of the story. We're here on a Sunday, as I alluded to earlier, because Christ rose from the dead on Sunday. So he used these post-resurrection appearances to sum up his life, to explain what it all meant. What does it all mean? In doing so, I believe in this passage, he sums up his life, and in the process, our lives too. So let's look at this passage, Luke 24, 44. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" I appreciated the songs this morning. I think if you come for a while, you'll understand that Bible isn't just our middle name. We're Community Bible Church for a reason. We believe in the wonderful words of life. We believe in the power of Scripture. We believe that it's an ancient book with a relevant to our lives meaning. And we find here in verse 44 that Jesus found the meaning of his life in the Scriptures. Jesus found the meaning of his life in the Scriptures. In fact, you'll notice verse 44, he says, "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you.'" Now, at first that would strike us as strange. What do you mean, when you were still with us? You're talking to us right now. But what he's referring to is before his death, before his burial, before his resurrection. He said, "These are the words that I spoke to you before my death and resurrection." But you shouldn't be surprised by them, perplexed by them, because he goes on to say that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now, Christ is still with us, but in a different way. When he was on the earth, he was with them in physical presence, obviously. But he's, a sense, ascended to his Father. So he now is in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So he's still with us, but in a different way. But what he says here is that why you shouldn't be perplexed by what has happened. You shouldn't be surprised by what has happened. I told you, and you can go through the Gospels and see how often he foretold what was going to happen. But more than that, he says, hey, it was written in the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, the Psalms, that's their way, the Jewish way of summing up the entire of the Old Testament. We might say the historical books, the prophetical books, the poetic books. He meant all of the Old Testament. But what he's saying here is Jesus lived to fulfill Scripture. That was the purpose of his life. That's where he found his meaning in life. That's why he came. That's what he set out to accomplish. Now, we have, of course, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms in the Old Testament, but we also have here in verse 44 the New Testament, because notice what he says in verse 44. "Now, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." We have that recorded for us right here. We have those words. The apostles recorded those words. The apostles shared that with us. So there he's talking about New Testament. Also, he's talking about Old Testament. He's talking about all of Scriptures. The words that he spoke while he was with the apostles, we have. The words that he gave the apostles, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to record for us. We have them. But when they were searching for meaning, and what does this mean? He's dead. He's back to life. Jesus found the meaning of his life in the Scriptures. Jesus found the meaning of his life in the Scriptures. And I believe we can find the meaning of our lives in the Scriptures. So Jesus found the meaning of his life in Scripture. Secondly, Jesus doesn't give us the option of deciding what was most important about his life. He clearly tells us. Verse 46. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer the third day and rise from the dead, that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day." He doesn't give us the option of deciding what was most important about his life. He clearly tells us. He said, "I fulfilled the Scripture." And what was it specifically, verse 46, that was written in the Scripture? That Christ would suffer, he would die, he would rise again from the dead the third day. We have all kinds of opinions of what was most important about Jesus. Why did Jesus come? And believers and non-believers alike have all these ideas. Jesus came for economic reasons. Jesus was a socialist, or Jesus was a capitalist, or he came to set, to right economic wrongs, or he came for political reasons. He came to speak power to truth. He had all this agenda to bring an upheaval to the political system, the economic system. Or he came simply to set an example. He was a great teacher. He's a moral example, and we need to follow in his examples. The list is endless. But Jesus tells us exactly what he came for. There's no room for debate here. He tells us, verse 46, "Thus is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." He tells us, "I came for this reason. It was written in the Old Testament about me. I told you about it while I was with you. I came to die, to be buried, to rise again." That is the gospel. He died to fulfill Scripture. We call this the gospel. That was Jesus' job description. The main thing that matters. The main thing that matters about Christ. Yes, he did a lot of things. And there are things we can learn about a lot of things. But when they said, "Dear Lord, what is going on here? We don't understand all this." He said, "Well, let me sum it up for you. Let me nail it down for you. I came to fulfill the Scriptures that said I would suffer, I would die, I would be buried, I would rise again the third day." That is the main thing. That is why I came. That is why I left heaven, to be born of a virgin, to take on human flesh, to suffer. That is it. Keep your hand here. Go to Romans 1. Romans 1:1. We call this, again, the gospel. The gospel. Romans 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. Again, that's the Old Testament. This was the purpose of the Old Testament. The gospel is the gospel of God. He's the one who sent his son. He's the one who developed, if you will, the plan of salvation. He's the one that sent Christ on a mission. And he promised this beforehand in his prophets and the Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning what? His son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. But that's the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection. Jesus died to fulfill the Old Testament Scriptures that God had clearly given to point towards salvation. Now, go back to Luke 24. All right, so he suffered, he died to accomplish what? For what purpose? Verse 47. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He died to forgive sin. He died to forgive sin. Jesus, what does this all mean? Why did you let yourself be falsely accused and put to death for crimes you didn't commit? What does this mean? Why did you suffer according to the scriptures? Why allow this to happen? He says, listen, I did this for one reason, that you could tell the message of repentance for forgiveness of sins. That this is how sins are forgiven. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Keep your hand here. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Again, this is what we call the gospel. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preach to you, which you have received, which you also stand. Look at verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance that what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Again, according to the Bible. Jesus found the meaning of his life in the Bible. Jesus found his fulfillment in the plan of God that was in the Bible. Jesus died to forgive sin. The death, burial, and resurrection, that's the gospel. Does the gospel have implications in other areas? Sure. Yes. But the starting point is the death, burial, and resurrection, not vice versa. It's not say, well, Christ came to write this or to do that, and because of it, he got killed. No. He got killed because that's what he came for. Go back to Luke 24. So he says in verse 47, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins, now notice, would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. All right? And we'll see in verse 52 here shortly that that's where they went back to, Jerusalem. But how was it to be proclaimed? Okay. He said, now listen, I did my part. Forgiveness is offered. Forgiveness is accomplished. It's available. And people need to know it. That it would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, to everyone. I mean, again, beginning in Jerusalem, Christianity was a Middle Eastern religion. And we couldn't be further removed from the Middle East of the first century than we are here. And we're preaching the same message, the gospel. So how is it to be proclaimed? Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Now, again, I will admit, right here he's talking to the apostles. Okay, I want to make that clear. I do believe the implication of it would apply to us. We carry on the apostles' teaching. Okay, but he said, listen, you witness these things for a reason. I want you to tell people. And as you know, the apostles did. They spread the gospel to the known world and their followers, his disciples. And he had help, verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, and you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So Christ is saying, listen, I want you to be my witnesses to what you know about the forgiveness of sins. I want you to proclaim that, but you don't have to do it by yourself. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. So you wait in Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also see here, verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus is the key that unlocks scriptures. Jesus is the key that unlocks scripture. Go back to verse 25. Luke 24:25. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Jesus is the only way to understand the Bible. Jesus is the only way to properly interpret and understand the Bible. He has said it repeatedly. It's all about him. What's with all these Old Testament bloody sacrifices? It's about Jesus. It's about this establishment of a kingdom with an earthly throne. It points to Jesus. Why did God pluck Abraham, the heathen, and promise him to make him a great nation? Because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the only way to properly understand the Bible. Now, again, we don't have the resurrected Christ standing in front of us. I mean, we would all like that, would you not? I would. You know, I don't fault Thomas. I never have faulted Thomas. He gets a bum rap doubting Thomas. I mean, if he's a doubter, I don't know. I don't know what I am. I'm worse, probably. You know? He said, I need to put my finger right through that hole there and stick it in his side. I'd like to see that too. But I don't. I can't. But you know what I have? I have the scriptures. This is Christ. He is revealed in the scriptures. We have the Holy Bible, and as we saw in verse 49, we have the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus rose from the dead to give us the Holy Spirit. To give us the Holy Spirit. He ascended to his Father so that he was no longer limited by physical locale. In his life, if you wanted to be near Jesus, you had to go where he was. Now he is with us where we are. John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Now again, primary application here is the apostles. I understand that. But you'll notice what he was doing, what the Holy Spirit was doing, was making sure the apostles faithfully recorded everything that they saw, what needed to be told. What we need to know about Christ is in the scriptures. We will see him face to face one day, right? We long for that. We want to see our Savior, as the old song says, face to face. But until then, he has left us the Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit. We have our minds, and through the Spirit, the mind of Christ. We can meet Jesus in the Word. Now, look at their response to this, verse 50. And he led them as far as, now this is sometime later, all right, there's a gap between 49 and 50. And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, now notice their response to this. After worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. So Jesus had just ascended back to the Father. They weren't going to see him anymore. And what did they do? They worshiped him. They had exceeding great joy. They praised him. They went to the temple and praised him. The fact that he was no longer with them didn't deter them from worshiping Jesus. The fact that he was no longer physically with them didn't deter them from finding joy in Jesus, of gathering in the temple to proclaim the message of Jesus. They continued to praise God in spite of his absence. Even after he was gone, they worshiped him, praised him. Understanding who Jesus is leads to joy and purpose. Understanding who Jesus is leads to joy and purpose. Jesus lived, died, and rose again to give us, the church, his followers, his disciples, our mission. Our mission. What is it? Verse 47. And that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now again, yes, the apostles are the primary focus of what's going on here. But there's no way those 12, well, 11 then, and soon 12 again, we're going to reach all the nations. In fact, hey, guess what? We weren't even here. There was no, obviously, the United States. So it wasn't that John had to reach clear to the United States. No, he proclaimed the gospel. Others heard it. They went to the next town. They proclaimed it. Others heard it. They went to the next town. And here we are 2,000 years later proclaiming this, the gospel. That's our mission. That's our purpose. To spread the gospel, to make disciples of all the nations. I believe you can sum up Jesus' life with one word, the gospel. The gospel. Don't let others distract you. Don't let others get you on some tangent that, you know, well, this is what Jesus would have done. Well, I know what Jesus did. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and ascended back to his Father. You can sum up Jesus' life with one word, the gospel. And I believe, based upon this, you can sum up your life with one word, the gospel. You have been saved by the gospel. You have had sins forgiven by the gospel. And you are to proclaim that. Let's pray. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. The message of the gospel. We need to remind ourselves of it every day. Every day. We need to allow the Holy Spirit that has come into our lives and hearts to give us victory. To instill in us the life of Christ. To be a testimony. To be a witness. To spread the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. Here's good news. Jesus died according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's the best news. Amen.